Welcome to episode 5 of the podcast series, War, What Is It Good For? World War II on Film.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Annabelle.
And today we're going to be talking about how the movie Midway reinforces the myth of the good war in World War II.
Okay, so the myth of the good war has to do with how the United States came out of World War II as a world leader. And World War II basically was the end of Nazism, fascism, and Japanese imperialism. And the United States played a key role in this. And then after the war, even though that they were never actually invaded, and much of the other world powers were, and had suffered actual wreckage and damage to the internal country, the United States came out of the war stronger and better in every quantitative method, meaning that they made and sold more consumer goods. The home income became higher, and more people were homeowners than ever before.
The United States, in this good war myth, is the international good guy trying to save the world from these foreign bad guys' enemies. So, Annabelle, how about we tell our listeners a little bit about the movie?
All right. So the movie opens with a scene between the Americans and the Japanese, and they're discussing the oil supply, and they kind of vaguely threaten that if oil is threatened, that they would launch an attack on America. So then fast forward, there is the attack on Pearl Harbor, which is a very chaotic scene. It shows a lot of violence, and that was the catalyst that led America into World War II. So they, as a response, raid the Marshall Islands and Japanese mainland, and they make a plan to go to Midway Island to launch an attack on the Japanese. Which this movie mainly focuses on the war in the Pacific specifically. And going to Midway Island was a very daring and daunting task that the forces would have to go through. But the main obstacle to get to Midway Island is the need to intercept a code, which is AF. But due to water shortages on Midway Island, they're able to decipher that AF is Midway Islands, the code for it, and so they can tell that the Japanese are planning to attack Midway Island, and that would make them one step closer to gaining access to America and controlling the whole nation. So this battle is really a key player into keeping the Japanese at bay. So the Japanese launch an air attack and damage America's fleet very badly, but Japan can't launch a counterattack. So the American planes follow a Japanese destroyer and are able to destroy some planes to kind of weaken the Japanese. And then after more destroyal of airships, the Japanese are forced to withdraw from the battle. And this battle was historically a big turning point in the Pacific during World War II, and it played a major key role.
All right, so let's talk about some characters specific to Midway movie. So first we have Edwin Layton. And he began talking with the Japanese, like Annabelle mentioned. He was warned that Japan might attack America if their oil supply was threatened. And when he informs his American Navy, no one listens to him. And obviously, as we see 4 years later, Japan does attack America. Another main character that we have is Dick Best, who is a main character of a skilled fighter pilot, and he leads a lot of these planes fighting and bombing the Japan carriers and other Japanese planes that we'll see. One other character is Doolittle, and he is the leader of the paratroopers who are assigned to fly over Japan, but they're forced to evacuate their plane because of the storm and engine failure. And Doolittle and his men end up scattered in a Chinese village but receive help of how to get to their assigned meeting point. One other character that we'll be talking about later is named Bruno. He is also a skilled fighter pilot, and he escapes his damaged plane, but is picked up by a Japanese ship and then punished and killed for being an enemy.
Now, let's begin our analysis of Midway and the Good War.
All right, so the first thing we have to talk about is the attack on Pearl Harbor, which really paints Japan as the enemy, and showing that they were attacking America, who wasn't even involved in the war at that point.
This scene really creates an immediate sense of who the bad guy and the good guy in the movie is, with Japan obviously attacking and becoming the bad guy within the first few minutes of the movie.
The American men were painted as innocent since they had remained neutral up until this war at this point, and obviously evil attacks innocence. So maybe I'm just stretching here, Annabelle, but as I was watching this movie, I saw some symbols with this Pearl Harbor attack. The men on the Enterprise are setting up the deck for church, which is obviously a innocent, good, all-American act, and they're attacked while doing it. And I know this is just one of the uniform colors of the military, but many of the men at Pearl Harbor were wearing white. So to me, that was representing innocence and purity on a visual kind of symbolic level.
I really like that. I think that brings out a good point and kind of further goes to that Hollywood symbolism as to pointing out the good war once again, that the Americans were just enjoying and going through their lives without any fear until up until that point.
And having a really violent scene near the start of the movie reminded me of the beach scene in Saving Private Ryan. At first glance, these two scenes are very unlike each other, with Midway's Pearl Harbor scene of the explosions and violence. Personally, I don't think anything can compare to the violence that I watched in Saving Private Ryan. They didn't have the same enemy, with the Private Ryan troops being shot at by Germans and Pearl Harbor being attacked with the air Japanese raids. But I found it was similar that including an attack scene at the beginning of a movie automatically draws the audience with the violence and creates the feeling inside of the audience of wanting to retaliate or at least hoping for the Americans to survive. So just another point about Hollywood and the symbols that they create. Part of the myth about the Good War is that the Americans were fighting an evil, corrupt enemy. And part of that, as we see in Midway, is Japan portrayed as an evil, violent enemy.
So in the very beginning of the movie, like I said, it opens with the Japanese and the American admirals talking about oil. And even then, the Japanese threaten the Americans of an attack if oil is shortened. And that kind of gives background information into Pearl Harbor, but it also shows the Japanese in a very ruthless light that they would be willing to go to such extremes over oil in the middle of a war and that they really didn't have much care for other people.
According to researcher Paul Hirsch, in his article titled This Is Our Enemy, The Writer's War Board and Representations of Race in Comic Books, 1942 to 1945. He wrote about the comic book portrayals of the American enemies in World War II. So some stereotypes that these comic books illustrated and published in the 1940s during the war used to describe and illustrate the Japanese were very exaggerated physical features like superhuman monsters, fangs, claws, pointy ears, exaggerated slanty eyes, and also some traits that these characters were given were uncontrollably evil, not human, savages, but also powerful and violent enough to be a threat to American society. And I think that we see these features, maybe not so much the physical exaggerations, but definitely the violence and evil in Midway. What do you think, Annabelle?
I definitely agree. I think the actual Hollywood portrayal did a good job of not portraying them in that terrible light.
But specifically when the Japanese do attack Midway Island, the scene just shows a lot of damage and a lot of violence, which again goes with that typical stereotype of Japanese imperialism and how violent and ruthless it really was. And we also see that with the harsh conditions that they let the Chinese live in when they attack that village, and again are depicted as angry and cruel, ruling over these scared Chinese civilians.
So just to go a little bit more in depth of what Annabelle was talking about with the Chinese. So as I mentioned in the summary, was a character named Doolittle, and he's a paratrooper, overshoots his landing site a little bit, and lands in a very remote village in China. So while he's there trying to hide from the enemy and determine if he's in a safe place or not, Japanese planes randomly fire over the village. He's confused and asks the Chinese translator, who can speak English, why these planes are firing and what the target could be, since there's no installations or military camps in that village that would have a purpose to shoot.
and the translator's response is simply that people are the target. This shows the disregard that the Japanese fleet had for civilians just because they were Chinese, and it shows a kind of disregard for human life almost. And in the end credit scene, when the stories are coming up about the true men that had inspired this story, we see some more facts about this Chinese and Japanese little conflict, that the Imperial Japanese Army killed about 250,000 Chinese civilians for helping Doolittle and the paratroopers, just because they found one little cigarette lighter that Doolittle had given his friends who had helped him find the safe place. And again, I think this scene really highlights the brutality and violence aspect of the bad guy stereotype of the good war myth. And one other scene of the movie that really showed how the Japanese are unfazed by violence and punishment was with Bruno. Like I said, he escaped his plane and was picked up and taken prisoner by a Japanese ship after he had to evacuate and use the life raft. So the Japanese leaders tried to interrogate him for information about the location of the American aircraft carrier so that they could bomb it and destroy the American fleets, but Bruno refused. They threw him overboard with his hands tied. And if being deserted in the middle of an ocean and left to die wasn't enough for you, the Japanese added the punishment by throwing an anchor overboard, which was tied to Bruno. So immediately he was dragged underwater, no possible way to even fight or escape. This punishment, I would say, shows the brutality that the Japanese commander demonstrated and how easy it was for him to give out the order, as if he didn't have to overcome any human moral conscience that we might think. He didn't even bat an eye giving out this order. This scene contributed to the myth of the Americans being good guys, because men like Bruno would rather heroically give their lives than betray their country and kill men. While we're on the topic of the Japanese as the enemy in World War II movies, we can't help but think about Hacksaw Ridge.
In the movie Hacksaw Ridge, the Japanese were almost portrayed as having no respect for their very own human lives. And I kind of found this by seeing themselves throw themselves over bombs or being distractions in order for other Japanese to kill and advance in war. This again shows a stereotype of being uncontrollably evil and ruthless and having no regard for the lives of people on the opposite side. So much so that they would sacrifice themselves just to get ahead in this war.
They also didn't follow the rules of war in Hacksaw Ridge and the civilized kind of etiquette that comes with rules of war. So near the end, some Japanese soldiers pretended to surrender, but other Japanese were hiding behind a hill ready to shoot the Americans. So this contributes to the stereotype of the evil Japanese army harming the good American guys that we also see in Midway. So now we're going to switch gears. Now we're going to focus on how Midway portrayed America as the good guys, which is also half of the good war myth. Not only does the good war myth focus on Japan as the enemy, but it also portrays America as a fighter and so good protecting the whole world.
All right. So when we first watched the movie, we see that Pearl Harbor is attacked. And that, like I said, is the catalyst for entering World War II, which shows that America didn't enter the war just to enter it for, no reason. They were fighting specifically against an evil force that first attacked them and going in with that reason. They also are portrayed because they don't just do attacks to attack. In the movie, they have to, and when I talked about the code, they have to figure out that code in order to do that attack, because if they do it just without any backup, there could be real consequences. And again, this plan to go to Midway, which the whole movie kind of revolves around, is very dangerous, but it shows Americans in the light of not being afraid and willing to take action to put their country and innocent people first. American soldiers are continually putting their lives on the line to protect the people of America. And then the postscript reveals that each soldier was memorized in some way, and that their fate of after the movie.
So one character that really highlights America as the good,
good guys, superheroes of the war is Dick Best. And he was one of those main fighter pilots that we talked about in the little summary. He actually was the one that went back on a second round and threw a missile into the last Japanese aircraft carrier. So his heroic action really won the Battle of Midway. But throughout the movie, all of his characteristics contribute to America as the good war myth. So he is heroic and patriotic, and associating these qualities with him as one of the main characters of the American military associates the Navy with these characteristics as well. After Pearl Harbor, the Navy hasn't released their grand retaliation plan yet. As Best sees one of the admiral commander of the Navy's car, he shouts his disapproval with the current, or lack of, plans, and instead wants to bomb the Japanese. This is a moment of patriotism and wanting to protect his country that Annabelle mentioned a little bit earlier. Some of Best's character traits also contribute to this myth. Throughout the movie, he's a cocky jokester who isn't afraid to take risks, but he's also a family man. These are idealized traits that make his character, and the Navy that he works for, more likable. Not only is he patriotic and heroic, but he's also he also values his country and his men above himself. There's one scene where the oxygen canister in his cockpit is damaged, and he inhaled poor air, making him sick. His men urged him to turn around for his own health, but he didn't want to leave his men without a commander. Because of this damaged air, at the end of the movie, he actually coughs up blood, he's unable to fly future missions, and he's even sent home in a wheelchair. So patriotic characters like Best are really able to give up, are willing to give up their health and their lives for their country.
I might be playing devil's advocate here for a second.
I read this article by Michael Adams called The Good War Myth and the Cult of Nostalgia. And in this article, he's basically arguing that the myth of the good war isn't accurate and it doesn't portray World War II as how it truly was. In the article, he says that the real war, being World War II, was chaotic, it wasn't planned out well, and it often proved to be too much for the soldier who was actually involved in the fighting. And that was became a big development of PTSD that we saw in a lot of soldiers after the war. So the myth of the good war is driven by a history of not wanting to not be the good guys, and we have to see ourselves even in that light, even if it's not accurate. Even though the movie is pretty historically accurate, and it still shows the horrors of war and how you are still bombing and killing other people in the war, I also saw this theme in All Quiet in the Western Front and Hacksaw Ridge, which show both of the main characters have trouble fighting off the enemy just because they have no direct connection to want to kill these men that they consider to be just like them, even if they are on opposite sides of a war. And you have to think about how under normal circumstances, you wouldn't have the urge to kill all these men. So that again goes to show that America's not perfect in their depiction because they're still killing and bombing people, even if it is for kind of a just cause. Adams also talks about how film doesn't portray PTSD of the war that took so many toll on these men, and how if that had been included in the film, it would be much more accurate and people would realize how difficult this war truly was. World War II is remembered as the good war because no one really wanted to question the past and look at how World War II truly affected people.
I like you playing devil's advocate, Annabelle, by bringing up a different, more critical viewpoint to analyze the movie.
I found some other things that I found were wrong a little bit with Midway. One of which was that there were no minority characters at all, besides, of course, the Japanese as the total enemy. Even minorities like females were only represented as housewives, not even as nurses or anything like that, just wives of the men in the military. No African Americans, no Asian Americans making up the Army of America that defended the whole country. And as we know, America is not just white men that we saw in Midway. So I think it's a little bit historically inaccurate to have all of the Navy look almost the same in this movie.
I think we have reached a final verdict. Despite the faults we found that we just mentioned, Midway does perpetuate this myth of the good war through the use of their evil, brutal Japanese characters, and also the use of patriotic, good American heroes.
I have to agree with that. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We encourage you to watch the movie for yourself and compare your thoughts with ours. We hope you have a great day.